fan to her. Was many, few hundreds of people. When they shout, it sounds very impressive and very big and large voice. So when she finished to shout hallelujah, and she started to cry and get excited, she asked from somebody to bring the Bible, and somebody from the back took from the library the Bible, the Old Testament, and they started to deliver it by hands from through the audience and were to the front, and she got the Bible, she opened it up, and she found the scripture that she was want to point out, and then she told to the audience, you know, I was standing by my husband and while he was guiding this church, and I would like to resign from my own job, and I have a message to give to the church. I do not press my son to be the pastor. He is an adult person, living to make his own decision. I'd like to resign. My husband used to guide the church and to minister this church, and he died. And now I would like just to point out and to a message to you, and anybody here in the church that want that the Holy Spirit will come right upon him. Please raise your hand, and the Holy Spirit will come right now, and I'd like to read a few scriptures to you to fulfill a prophecy. And all the church, they started, I was hearing some crying, and they got excited, and they start to raise their hand and wave it by saying hallelujah. And then she grabbed my edge of the talit, crying, tearing, and she raised it above her hand, and she started to shout, please listen to my message, and she said, ואחזו עשרה אנשים בכנף איש יהודי אחד ואמרו, אך שקר נחלו אבותינו, לכו ונעבדה את השם אלוהי ישראל ויראינו מדרכיו. Was shouting basically scriptures from the Bible, from the Old Testament. Well, when the prophet says that in the end of time, באחרית הימים, the Gentiles will recognize the truth of Israel, of the nation of Israel, and they will go and grab their shirt, their talit, and say, please, take us under your responsibility, spiritual responsibility. Yes. חזו עשרה אנשים מכנף איש יהודי אחד, אמרו, אך שקר, we got a lie from, we inherit a lie from our fathers. לכו ונעבדה את השם אלוהי ישראל ויורד מדרכיו. We'll go to... let's go and worship the God of Israel, and he will show us his way. And basically what she said was shocking to the audience, shocking to me. I couldn't really understand what she was saying, because it was King James, it was a little older English, and I was searching in my Hebrew Bible to see the scriptures according to her Bible, and when I saw it, I was amazed, because she basically was telling to the church that the Jewish nation are right, and they hold the truth, and she was grabbing my shirt, and she was impressed by the lecture, understanding that that we as a nation are winning the death by obeying to the word of God, by obeying the commands, being able to resurrect in the end of time, and they will only get the blessing if they will hold our shirt. And she gave her message. She left them at the edge of the talit. She didn't even stare at the audience. She just turned to the steps, planning to leave the place. And her son was standing nearby the stairs, and he helped her to go down the stairs. It's three stairs from the ramp, from the abama. And then I was standing there, didn't know what to do, but then it was the end of the lecture, and right before she started to really move down the stairs, and she pointed out with her hand and her finger straight to me, and she started to shout, Rabbi, Rabbi. And I told her, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not a rabbi. And she told me, Rabbi, when you go to the synagogue to pray, who goes to the synagogue? I didn't go back then to the synagogue, but she started to shout at me, Rabbi, when you go to the synagogue to pray, you may pray on me and on my son, so that when the Messiah of the Jews will come, he will redeem us with the nation of Israel. She just like rejected Christianity altogether by saying such a thing. She was pointing out to me, go to the synagogue. She was telling me, Rabbi, insisting that I'm a rabbi. I was not. I was a converted Christian, and telling me, when pray that then when the Messiah of the Jews, why to say such a thing? Why not to say the name of Yeshua? You know, when the Messiah of the Jews will come, he will redeem us, meaning her and her son, with the nation of Israel. And she, all the church stood on their feet. They started to come closer to the front, and I started to be a little more. I was threatened by the thought that something went wrong here, and they can harm me or something. And I was a little hysterical. The tefillin was on my head and on my hand, and I didn't know what to do. But so I ran to the stairs to leave the place, and I forgot all the cover, all the everything on that right place on the ramp, and when I went downstairs, people was surrounding me, asking me questions. Rabbi, can you answer my questions? Like if it was you say it in Mesibat Itonaim. They were surrounding me, asking me questions like a prime minister, and people want to write a lecture or an article in the news. I was trying to give some answers according to my little knowledge, but then a woman came. One of the women was crying, and she told me, you know, I'm not from this church. I came from Pennsylvania to visit my son. And I came here to the church to strengthen my faith. And I came here, and I was listening to you. And I'm a Jew. My mother, she's a Jew. I didn't know that Judaism is so beautiful. I raised as a Christian. My father is a Christian. I used to go to the church, and I always thought that Judaism is a very old thing, and the vitrages of Rome and the statues of Rome are very beautiful, very, you know, a lot of articles, a lot of, But Judaism, it's something old. It's not pretty. It's not aesthetic thing. And you were able to represent it in such a way that I really appreciate it. Thank you. Can I get your phone number? And she got my phone number, and then other people was asking questions, and like if the tefillin could be red or rounded, and if there is any battery inside, and I was, half laughing, half hysterical, didn't know what to do. I mean, I was answering questions, but then Dr. Michael Angel put he saw that I'm a little hysterical. I got a even a note from that old woman in the wife of the pastor. I got a note saying, "Don't forget me. Go to the synagogue and pray. Pray for me and for my son." And she wrote her full name, and I took the note and I put it in my pocket. And I can assure you that this note, for half a year, I was putting it in my shirt, from one shirt to another, from one pocket to another. She have done something by saying such a thing. It was a little open, little space into my emotion, to my Jewish heart, that something was got me excited. And when I went out afterward, I realized one thing, that the power of the tefillin, so powerful, that even though I was trying to make a fun out of it, I was not exactly fun, but I didn't care much about the truth of it. I was just saying things from my own heart, didn't really even listening to what the rabbis have to say about tefillin. I didn't care much whether I'm saying the truth or not. I was just putting a tefillin. So much happened there, and so much excitement over it, and I realized that actually I was saying something that could be really true, but even though I didn't mean it, and something really started to make sense to me in the weird shape of the tefillin, understanding that basically there is something, even though that I really don't understand, or I never thought about it, maybe there is more into all the commands, despite the fact that they seems weird sometimes. But if it's the word of God, then I realize that why do I care? It's an infinitive wisdom, infinitive power of God, and He told me to put a tefillin. Why I'm not doing it seriously? Isn't it something beyond my understanding? Isn't my God infinitive, and have an infinitive solution to any problem that I got? And He's over me, over my understanding, over my consciousness, over my knowledge, and He commanded it. It was something that hit me right there in the church, but that was not the right time to think more, because I felt a threat. I was inside the church, and one of Dr. Michelangelo put his back to the audience, allowing me to leave the place, because he saw that I'm a little nervous, and he was probably thinking or feeling what I felt, that something wrong can go here. So I left the church, and Dr. Michelangelo was he put his hand on my shoulder, and we left together, and all the people behind us, and he took me right to his car, and all the people was surrendering the car and went to speak with me, but and then we left with his car to his house. And before I'll tell you what happened there and what was the discussion inside the car, we will that Zocher Chasdei Avot. When I think about it and I think why I had this chut, the right, to come and to make a tshuva from after such a going through tehomot anashia, going to places where, you know, there is no way to come back. So far from the 50th level of Tuma, I would say, I think about Chasdei Avot. Probably, it's without Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, without our, you know, righteous fathers that praying in heaven to save and to ask God to fulfill His prophecies and to bring all the spirits, all the souls from where they are. Probably the grace of God upon us, upon the nation of Israel, despite all of all our mistakes that we're doing, and basically God is operating here in human history. It's not probably, it's a definite thing, but fulfilling His prophecies, bringing us from Japan, from Thailand, from the Far East, from India, from the Lost America, from many, many other places, from even a friend that had to, after the army, went to travel in Africa, and then he was almost died because he came to closer without realizing to a lion, 2 meter from a lion, and they stood and were staring one another, and he was able to be saved by the grace of God, and then he came back and make a tshuva. Many people can tell you miraculous stories about how God guided them back to the land of Israel from all over the world, from many, many, many stories and events that had no even chance to wake up, or from a slavery, meaning mentally slavery or captivity, just like I was in, my heart was in a captivity somewhere else, in a completely different dimension, completely different way of thinking, and it's a miracle thing to be able to recognize the mistake and to wake up and to be brave enough and to have the power to change your life and to sacrifice and to leave everything behind and to start again at the age of 34 in the middle of your life. It's not only me. I'm just telling you my personal story, how I left Egypt. Egypt doesn't mean Egypt. It represents the darkness of each one of us. Like I told you, I drove with Dr. Michael Angel that took me from the church. I took the tefillin off from my body, took them off, and then we were driving, and I saw him through the mirror. I didn't even stare at him. I was sitting by, and I saw him turning red. And I thought that maybe he's kind of, I was saying something wrong, and maybe he got mad, and maybe I'm driving to the wrong place. But then I saw him through the mirror. I saw tears in his eyes, and I asked him, Michael, are you a Jew? He told me, no, I'm not a Jew. My mother, a Gentile, and my father, a Jew. And, you know, Gentiles consider me as a Jew because they go by their father. They go by the father. And the Jews consider me as a Gentile because they go by the mother. And I told him, what are you going by? What do you feel about your own self? And then he told me, you know, I'm in the twilight zone. I want to show you something because you got me excited. Then allow me to excite you as well. Since I appreciate what you've done here in the church, then I would like to give you a little present and show you something very interesting. So he took me to his house, and I saw, as we enter in his living room, it was not a regular living room. There was a big table, big, huge table, but let's say a demonstration of Beit HaMikdash was right there on the table, on a large, huge table that took all the place, all the space in his living room. Beit HaMikdash. I was very impressed because I didn't expect him to have a demo of Beit HaMikdash in his living room. That's the way he live. And then his wife came from the kitchen and she told me, you see, that's what my husband is doing for 3 years, building the demo of Beit HaMikdash in trying to imitate exactly the shape and the sizes of Beit HaMikdash. And he took his stick and he started to show me inside the demonstration, where is the Holy of Holy, where is the Parochet, and where is the gold altar, and where is the menorah, and the table inside the Holy, and where is the copper altar. I was impressed by seeing him. I thought that I'm dreaming. I saw him holding a stick and showing me Beit HaMikdash. And I asked myself whether, actually, despite the fact that he was speaking with me, whether there is somebody else that's speaking with me now and telling me, ask yourself, why are you here and why he is trying to educate you? What and how Beit HaMikdash look like? And besides, why he is doing it? Isn't he a Christian? Does he believe in the Temple of Jerusalem? And basically, I was amazed, and they gave me something to drink, and he told me, you know, there is many pictures here on the walls in my house. Take a look at them, and I was staring at the pictures, very beautiful pictures. He draw them, he was, and it, but I was expecting to see something that related to the New Testament stories, like maybe I don't know, Yeshua and Maria holding a baby or whatever, but none of the that thing was on his walls. Everything was looked like a Jewish picture, like I saw Aharon HaKohen with his clothing that he drew. I saw the menorah that he drew. I saw a shape of Beit HaMikdash that he drew with his pencil, very beautiful on a white paper, and he put it in as a picture on his wall. I saw many things that really impressed me. A rabbi with his with a talit on his head, with a shofar, holding a shofar, just like in Rosh Hashanah. And I asked him, Doctor, aren't you teaching Christianity at the university? And tell me, yes, I'm teaching Christianity in the university. Well, then why aren't you living in a contradiction in your life? I see everything here belong to the Jewish tradition and legacy, and basically you are a priest, aren't you a pastor? So yes, I am a pastor, and but on the other hand, it was very confusing to me. And then he told me, before you ask me any theological questions, then just let's sit and watch something. I would like to show you a video. And he put a video inside, and it was in a 19-inch TV. I saw him explaining to the audience, which was me, which was whatever. He was planning to publish it around the States. Explaining all the ceremony that took place of the service in Beit HaMikdash of the Kohen Gadol, what the Kohen Gadol used to do during the Yom Kippur, and how things used to be in Yom Kippur. And I was very impressed. You're a Gentile person. How come? I told him,